table referenced here is available on my website. I facilitated my second release retrospective with the Project DX team yesterday. The first one, back in October, went reasonably well considering I was asked to facilitate at the start of the retrospective and had no time to prepare. However, yesterday's retrospective went even better since I knew in advance that I would be facilitating. The activities we used during the retrospective primarily came from Diana Larson and Esther Derby's book, Agile Retrospectives. We began with the ESVP, Explorer, Shopper, Vacationer, Prisoner activity to gauge the group's interest level concerning the work we were doing in the retrospective. Almost everyone in the group identified as an explorer through an anonymous vote. With this group, I generally trust the outcome, although I did wonder if anyone might have provided the answer they thought they were supposed to give. Next, I asked the team to construct a timeline of events from the past release. Before the retrospective began, I drew the timeline on our whiteboard and divided it into sections for each iteration. Our cycle consists of 2 3-week sprints, followed by a 2-week internal alpha testing period and a 2-week customer beta testing period. The result looks something like, during the retrospective, I asked everyone to take some time to think about any events during that time period that were meaningful to them in any way. Write the event on a sticky note, and then place the note on the timeline in approximately the right spot. We spent about 45 minutes generating events, during which time we were free to look back at calendars and email, as well as the commit logs from our SCM. I set a 45-minute time box and mentioned that it was fine for people to take a break if they felt they couldn't remember any more events, asking everyone to simply be back on time for the next step. Instead of specifying that people work in pairs, I chose to let the team self-organize. It was interesting to see how, at first, everyone seemed to work on their own, but as the more obvious events were posted to the board, people started working in groups to come up with more data. At the end of the allotted time, we had a whiteboard full of events. The area below the timeline was intended for a graph of energy emotion levels, which I'll discuss in a moment, but J.D. Huntington had a great idea to also add a rough bar graph of our commit volume, as reported by GitHub's activity graphs, to that area. After everyone had a last opportunity to look at the board and add any last-minute stickies, I asked everyone to take a turn at the board and use markers to place a blue dot next to any event which they felt positive about, and a red dot next to any event that they felt negative about. Then, I asked them to think about their positive and negative energy emotion levels throughout the release and draw a line graph in the bottom section to signify their ups and downs throughout the release cycle. At this point, we looked at each iteration in a cycle, and I asked the team to make observations about the data. Using bullet lists at the bottom of the whiteboard, we captured the observations as further data points for analysis. After a break for lunch, we used the patterns and shifts activity to generate insights about the data on the timeline. We gathered around the whiteboard, where I asked each person to mark on the timeline any point at which they felt there was a shift or transition of some sort, and to draw lines between any events, graph points, and observations that they felt were somehow related. After no one was able to see any more connections, I asked the team to look for any patterns among the connections and the shifts. The first thing we noticed was that we felt like the real shift between iterations was constantly happening about 3 days after the actual time box ended. Rather than get into a long discussion about it when it was noticed, I asked the team to simply keep it in mind as a possible concern during the next phase of the retrospective. The next observation was that we had a number of connections with long lines spanning 2 or more iterations. I asked everyone to focus on these connections and look for those where we may have noticed an issue early on, but it wasn't addressed until much later. In some cases, it turned out that while that was the issue, the length of the line just signified that either the work took that long, or there was a conscious decision not to address the issue right away. Reflecting on the other cases led to an interesting discovery, however. Chris noticed that where the lines crossed the bounds of the iterations, it was likely signifying a parallel cycle which we were attempting to force into our release cycle. Specifically, we have both an explicit product release cycle and an inexplicit customer deployment cycle occurring at the same time. After we were finished recognizing patterns in the data, it was time to discuss these patterns and anything else on our minds and come up with a few action items for the next release cycle. Here I ran a team through the Circle of Questions activity. In this activity, the group sits in a circle, and each person takes turns asking a question to the person on their immediate left. The question can be about anything they like, barring anything offensive or attacking, but it's helpful to focus on the insights gained during the previous stage of the retrospective. The person to the left answers the question to the best of their ability, and then they ask the person to their left any other question, or the same question if they feel they'd like a better answer. This continues until the allotted time is up, or you have gone around the entire circle twice, whichever comes last. Make sure you go around the complete circle. If some people in the group get more turns to ask or answer a question than others, it can send the wrong message. The thing that I really like about the Circle of Questions activity is that when you have a mixed group of people, some of whom tend to dominate the conversation while others tend to stay quiet, it gives everyone a chance to ask their questions and have their opinions heard without feeling like the most boisterous people have the only valuable input. We certainly have a mix like that in our case, and this activity worked wonderfully. In the end, we came away with a number of things to change for the next release cycle. It's interesting to note that none of our action items were directly related to the insights generated from the timeline. I think the insights are still valuable and are contained in the notes, which we post to our internal wiki, so we may still come back to them in the near future. We were running over on time and had to wrap up, even though the discussion could have continued longer. Before we held this retrospective, I think some of the team members felt that we would not gain much from doing a full-day retrospective this time around. We had made good progress on our action items from the previous retrospective, and the general feeling was that things were going basically well. What could we possibly need to change? People, please don't hold retrospectives only when your team feels like there's a problem that needs to be dealt with. If you hold retrospectives on a regular basis, whether you feel like you need to or not, you will uncover issues before they become problems. In our case, we managed to uncover a number of issues during our retrospective that could easily have grown into much larger problems if we didn't bother to think about them until the effect was obvious. If you do have obvious issues, then you might choose a different set of activities than what we did for this retrospective. The timeline activity is great for discovering potential improvements, even when everything seems to be going well. So I suggest giving it a try the next time your team is tempted to skip a retrospective because no one thinks there's any huge problems. I'm John Wilger, and you've been listening to Retrospective Facilitation, published on January 13th, 2009, and copyright 2009, all rights reserved. You can read or listen to more of my work at johnwilger.com.